So, what if I were to tell you that next Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock right here, God will be here to meet us and answer all our questions and give specific comfort and healing for whatever? Would you sign up to come? And of course, it's a triune God, so that means three in one. And, you know, that'll be revealing. If you've ever tried to figure that mystery out, it'll be revealed to us. The Holy Spirit will be here, descending like a dove through an opening in the clouds or the roof. I don't know all the details. But Jesus will be here, and we'll get to see what he actually looks like and how tall he is and those electrifying, loving eyes, and get to hear his sense of humor. And of course, we'll have a meal afterwards in Tucker Hall. You know how Jesus is, always a meal, everybody welcome. There will be a bunch of widely despised tax collectors that he invited. And in fact, I think everybody that annoys us will be here for the meal. And when I was first writing this announcement, I was dictating it into my phone. And when I said, everybody that annoys us will be here, what came up on the screen was, everybody from Illinois will be here. So, you know, voice to text error or the Holy Spirit, I don't know. But that's a big crowd. But Jesus said there would be enough food if we just had a few fish and some bread. That doesn't seem like enough, but what do I know? And you know, with God meeting us here, if you've been thinking about bringing a friend to church, that would probably be a good idea next Wednesday at 7. I know all of you think I'm serious, but I'm actually kidding about this event. It's not happening. Everybody from Illinois will not be here. Sorry. But the truth is that even though that's not happening as I just described it, the underlying essence is real. God will be here to meet us. The Holy One was and is and will be forever here meeting us, showing up. And Jesus tells us that in the gospel today, saying we need to be ready and awake. This is what the season of Advent is about, which we begin today, every year at this time, a time to practice being awake, to be reminded of this coming. The word Advent means coming, and in the Latin it carries the sense of an arrival or presence. So what I'd like to reflect on today is, what does it mean to be awake? And in particular, what is it that keeps us asleep such that we miss the coming of the Lord, this presence? And of course, Jesus is not talking about being awake by denying ourselves physical sleep. He is, of course, talking about spiritual awareness, consciousness, being vigilant and ready, open to the reality of the coming that he is pointing us to. So before I dive into the things that distract us from being awake, just a little context about the gospel we heard. The part we heard is very near the end of Matthew's story of Jesus' life. It's just before the final week, the crucifixion leading to Easter. And what we heard is part of a long answer to a question from the disciples. Actually, it's the longest answer to a question that Jesus gives in the entire New Testament. The question came up two chapters before our reading today when Jesus mentioned the destruction of the temple. And now keep in mind, the temple was the pride of the Jewish nation, nearly 500 years old, massive, occupying over 35 acres. If you want to know how big that is, compare it to Brown Stadium, which is only 17 acres. This massive structure was standing on the hill of Jerusalem, the largest temple in the ancient world, dazzling white marble and gold ornamentation, representing all that is sacred. And Jesus says, yeah, this is all going to come down, which it does 40 years later. But the disciples are stunned. What? When will this be? Is this going to be the end times? Are you going to be here? These are understandable questions for the end of Jesus' ministry on earth. The disciples were seeking human-sized answers to things that don't come in that size. But these are relevant questions for us as well. What are we waiting for? What are we expecting or hoping for? What do we believe is real? Jesus' answer is known as the Discourse on the End Times. It's a dense theological mix, including the destruction of the temple, the end of the ages, the second coming, the realization of God's realm of love, and Judgment Day. And the answer is also known as the Judgment Discourse. And just consider this about judgment, this idea about judgment, from the brilliant and prophetic Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann. He framed judgment as not some demeaning evaluation or condemnation, but judgment that declares a disruption of the current world, the world of human-sized ideas, and judgment actually as the flip side of hope, the hope that shines through what breaks apart and makes space to see the radical something new that Jesus so passionately wants us to see and be awake for. So as we heard today, Jesus' reply to the question in part was, "Keep awake, for you do not know when the Lord is coming. You must be ready, for it happens at an unexpected hour." So what is it then that keeps us from being awake and ready? I'm going to name a few things, but there are many. Our Creator has entrusted us to find our way through all things that keep us asleep. But one example of how we remain in sleep is to believe we already know. We know what to expect. We kind of know the parameters in which things will fall. But remember, Jesus said the time will be unexpected. And the unexpected is a really important theme throughout Jesus' life from beginning to end. The people were expecting a Messiah, a great king, and what they got was a vulnerable infant in a manger in a stable born to peasants. When we think we know, we will miss the unexpected often because our unseen assumptions and mental constructs block our vision. Even the disciples traveling around with Jesus continually missed things in this way. For example, they were truly convinced and preached that the end times and the second coming would happen in their lifetime. They missed something. The coming is in God's time, in a time we don't expect, and in ways maybe that we can't even imagine, or even in ways that we might not be comfortable with. And the disciples were stunned to think something so treasured and massive and sturdy as the temple could come down. Similarly, we can unconsciously hold our own thoughts and convictions as too treasured and massive and sturdy to come down. But are they? Being awake is not about being certain and sure and right, but about being open and vulnerable and available. That's the opening through which hope, through which a shift in consciousness can come. Or will we be like the innkeeper? When the Holy Family knocks, when the bearer of the Christ child knocks, will we shoo them off into a lowly place down the hill and close the door and go about our business as usual without any idea of what we missed? A second way we remain in slumber is missing the living presence of Christ among us, in one another. And now, oh sure, we remember that Christ said, "Whatever you did to the least of these brothers and sisters, you did to me." And we like to hold up that we do support the marginalized and the immigrant and the oppressed. But what about all those people that annoy us, that Christ always invites to the table? What about all the people we feel hurt by, our family members, our coworkers, our next-door neighbors, the people in that other political party? This is one of the hardest places to be awake to the arrival and presence of the Holy One, but it is therefore our personalized prescription, because it is in the precise place where we let ourselves go into a spiritual trance of blame and self-justified meanness towards others. Developing a case against others is like a sleeping pill. We descend into a dream that says, "They deserve it. They did this and they did that, and I interpret their behavior this way, so therefore that's reality, and I can punish them with cold walls and harshness." Now, on the other hand, are there people in our personal lives or even in our civic lives who are objectively cruel and genuinely destructive? Yes, we know there are. And isn't it then realistic and wise to hold them accountable and to act in our personal lives to create healthy boundaries or in our civic lives to pursue justice and work for justice? Sure, that makes sense. But there's a difference between recognizing the harm and doing whatever we can to rectify it versus adding more hate and viciousness and cruelty to the world and feeling justified in doing so. Will we be awake in these unexpected times? Theologian Morton Kelsey wrote of the innkeeper, but perhaps of us, "We never know in what guise the Christ child will come to us. We need to be expectantly watching and spiritually sensitive if we are to welcome the Holy One in whatever way the divine wishes to enter our souls." A third and the final distraction that I'll mention that keeps us from being awake is our sense that there's something wrong with the world or something wrong with ourselves, and it prevents us from being able to perceive and receive the joy and goodness and the presence of the Christ child arriving. The first way is when we get so saturated in the world's bad news and the atrocious suffering that we feel unable to feel the joy, even think it's not right to feel the joy. We feel guilty for it. Yet, the coming of the Holy One in the form of joy in our lives, and beauty, love, compassion, these are divine rays, and they bring us strength to be present to the suffering in the world and to be a source of support. We can also stay in a slumber because we believe we're not good enough for Christ to be born in our hearts. Again, I'm going to quote theologian Morton Kelsey. He put it this way: "A stable was the place the Christ was born, and this is a great consolation, for none of us can therefore say we are not good enough for love to be born in us." He says, "Blessed are those whose lives feel like stables. Blessed are the heavily laden, those in sorrow, troubles, need, or adversity. For creative love seeks to enter their hearts and be born in them." We need to swing open the stable doors of our souls and let the Christ, both newly born and risen from the dead, enter. From Matthew to Revelation, we find the same message. The Holy One is seeking us all. So, thinking we already know, acting out self-justified meanness towards others, thinking things are too wrong in the world or in us to know the arrival and presence of the Holy One, these are just a few of the many creative ways we humans have to fall asleep to perceiving and receiving what we so long for the most. So, to come meet God right here next Wednesday, you can sign up in the, no, there's no sign up in the foyer. But there is a sign-up sheet in our hearts, and God has put a space there for our names. Our patron, St. Paul, said in his letter today, "You know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to awake from sleep. The Holy One is arriving. May we be awake in our hearts and minds."